Hey, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. Are you ready to talk kids? We're going back to our very roots of our ministry, Parent Talk, and we're going to help you be an intentional parent.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Randy's a husband, father, and grandfather, best-selling author of Raising Responsible Adults, counselor and coach, and your advocate for the family. So if you're married with kids, a single parent, or a parent in a blended family, I know you've got questions, so call right now. 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt, and I welcome you to the Intentional Living Center. I have to tell you, I was sitting and listening as Kurt was getting us going about this topic on parenting, that we've been doing this parent talk. I mean, that's where we started. We go back to 1990. So we're talking, what, 24, 25 years we've been at this. We were right in the middle of little kids at home, all right? And I would love to pull out some of the old tapes of things that I said back then and how I would change some of the advice today, now that I'm a grandfather. And I look back, I'm much more relaxed. I say, relax, you're going to be okay. Just stick with the plan. Be intentional. That's the bottom line. There's plenty of things that you can do. That's why we get resources out into the hands of people. But I would encourage you today to just think about this one thing. What one thing could you do today as a parent, single parent or married with children, young or old, adult children or little ones, what one thing you could do today that would make the single biggest difference in their life? Whatever that is, and you know what it is in your gut, you know it, do it. And give God the credit for it.
My name is Pat. I'm 67. My daughter was killed 4 years ago. She was in a house fire. I had become involved with the wrong kind of people, drinking and drugs. It took them 3 months to identify her before we was able to have a funeral of any kind. She left me 5 beautiful children. I was married right before it happened, but he couldn't deal with all this, so he left. The children have been a blessing, but at 67, I thought I'd be doing other things in life, like traveling and going out to lunch with friends. And that doesn't happen. I have a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, full-time, and then the 19-year-old, I had her for 3 years. She's been out on her own now for a year. And then they're 17-year-old twins. It breaks my heart when they look at me and say, Grandma, why weren't we enough? How come Mama cared more about the drugs and the drinking than she did us? What's wrong with us? Has been a tough situation. Thank God we have faith. Without it, there would be no answer.
Dr. Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. And, you know, one of the things you hear me talk about from time to time is the 30-day challenge. Picking up for the next 30 days one thing that you choose to do to be intentional in your life that can make the biggest difference. And many of you do that. You register, you come online, you see the video, you tell us what your one thing is. We promise to pray for you. And then from time to time we hear back success stories. Many times we don't, because we know people sometimes drop by the wayside in the process. But whenever we hear back how it's going, it's encouraging. And we got an email recently from Manuela, and we're going to get Manuela on. She's on the phone. I'm going to bring her up here in just a moment. But I want to read just a sentence from her email. She talks about setting a 30-day challenge for herself. She says, when I started this challenge, my focus was on feeding my family healthier meals. But God had a different agenda. During the days that followed my initial commitment, he, by his overruling grace, showed me, yes, I could cook healthier, but what good is healthy food when the insides that they're going into are not? What I needed to feed my family consciously was love and encouragement. Wow, that's powerful. Manuela, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I think you said it well in your email to us here. Tell us about what prompted you to start a 30-day challenge and how this has changed you and your family.
Well, I listened to Family Life Radio in my car, and then I kept hearing about the 30-day challenge, and it didn't really touch me until I heard that he said there was going to be prayer support. And I thought, well, I'm going to do it because with prayer support, it's like you have an opportunity to make a good change in your life, and you have that backup, that somebody that you don't even know, but they're praying for you, so that should work. Mm. So I went on the computer, and I looked up what ideas were there, and I saw that one of them was healthier foods, and that's been on my heart already because every time I go to the grocery store, I've been trying to change some of the things I bought because I felt that, yes, I do love my children, but I was indulging them. I just wanted to pick up again and just make healthier meals, just wanted them to be changed.
All right, so you were motivated to the idea of better health, being intentional around health, getting better food, healthier food, which is great. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. What happened to God revealing to you that this was only the first step in this 30-day challenge? What happened?
I think what happened was, as I tried to listen, he honored that. He just kind of came around, and he started to open my eyes to things that I was saying that came out the wrong way, even if I had the best intent of directing my family or my children in a better direction. The way it came out, it was kind of like maybe criticizing or blaming him. And I gave it to him, like, I don't know how to change it. What am I to do? And there were times when literally he would shut my mouth. And it just built my faith in such a way because I thought, wow, this is God, and he is really interested enough to actually, like, interfere with me right now.
Sure.
And words would just kind of not come out, but instead I would say something else that was much better, and I knew that that was him, and he was just working in me, and I'm so grateful. And it was like, really what it came down to, it was the cross of Christ kind of making it real in my life, because the event of the cross all those years ago, how it affected me now was that God cared so much about my family that he would, like, watch the words I would say to them, because he cherished them so much that he wanted me to speak differently to them. That's just amazing to me.
Well, see, you started a 30-day challenge with one thought, and God added to it, multiplied it, and said, that's a good idea, health, but let's get healthy in our relationships. Let me ask, as a result of the 30-day challenge that unfolded in your life, did you complete it, and how has that impacted you guys today?
Well, it's still impacting. I still get that surprise sometimes that, you know, I'm about to say something, and I'm like, I'm not saying it, and then I'll say something else. And it's always a good reminder that he actually cares, and he's right there, and he's got everything under control. So, I mean, the way I dealt with my family since starting the challenge, and it's ongoing still. It's still a learning process, and, you know, but I've just been kinder, gentler, I guess, more patient, and I watch my words. I think about it now, like when I say it, how are they going to perceive it? Are they going to think, you know, I'm being critical, or how else
That's good.
Should I say it? And if I don't do it, then God sometimes just kind of shuts my mouth and it just doesn't come out, but other words come out. So that's the encouragement. But along with what happened is, like, now when I go to the grocery store, I do also watch what I put in my cart. And I understand now that I can indulge my children because one of them just loves the macaroni and cheese, but that's not every day. Make it like a treat. You know, if you love ice cream, don't have it every day. Have it like a treat.
So as a result of this, not only are you eating healthier, putting balance in your food, but you've also changed the temperature in your home in terms of your communication with each other. And I'll tell you, as simple as that may sound as you're listening to Manuela today, she started with one decision. God spoke to her when she was driving down the road, hearing about a 30-day challenge and thinking, hey, there's something I should be doing, feeding my family better. And then God multiplied that to be not just what she's putting in the body, but what's in the body of the family, the relationships. And her decision to be 30 days concentrating on one thing has now become a habit in her life, as she said. And she's not perfect, but a habit that can change her family. And when I hear a story like this, it's a reminder that's why we exist. That's why we do this. Manuela, thank you for telling us your story today, and God's blessing to you as you continue on with your challenge.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless you.
In a small city, much like other small cities across America, there lives a family. Meet the Intentionals.
Daddy, Becky at school called me a mean name.
She did? Aren't you best friends?
We were.
Tell me what happened, dear.
Well, Kelly and I were talking on the playground, and Kelly told me a funny joke, and I laughed, and well, then that Becky just comes right up to me and said she didn't want to be my friend, and then called me a mean name.
Well, there's only one way to resolve a conflict.
How will Mr. Intentional handle this latest crisis?
What are you doing, Daddy?
Calling Becky's parents. This has to be just a misunderstanding.
How can he turn these events into a chance to live intentionally? The answer is coming up on The Intentionals.
It is coming up in just a few minutes. Come on, Dad. Hang up the phone. All right. We're going to hear what Mr. Intentional does in just a few minutes. Hey, listen, we love hearing from you, your stories, what God's doing in your life, your questions. Share them with us when you call 888-888-1717 or stop by the website of Intentional Living at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, where our focus is always about knowing our purpose in life, living our purpose, and experiencing freedom in Christ.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. I ran across a great comment the other day on Intentional Living's Facebook page. Chris addressed husbands and wives and said, "To the wives, always assume the best of him. Focus on his good qualities. To the husbands, we don't usually want you to fix it. Mostly, a listening ear and a hug is best." Do you want to be encouraged? Then join our Facebook family. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. More parenting questions are coming up. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. If you're in a family business, I have something very important to share with you. We've assembled an expert faculty of godly men and women to join me in leading a very practical two-day limited seating conference covering topics you've told us are important to you and your family business. Topics on relationships, shared mission and vision, problem solving, succession, and estate planning and finance. It's May 28th and 29th at the beautiful Biltmore Resort. So don't miss the April early bird discount period. Register today. Go to familybusinessconference.com.
Our smartphones. They've pretty much become an extension of our bodies. We don't go anywhere without them.
Hello?
So why not use that smartphone to help you lead an intentional life? Join thousands of people on Facebook who've committed to living an intentional life. Share your story or be inspired by someone else's. Or follow Dr. Randy and get your encouragement in 140 characters or less on Twitter. Find us on Facebook when you search Intentional Living. And if you want to follow Dr. Randy on Twitter, just search for the IL Center.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Christ. Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome back to Intentional Living. Dr. Randy Carlson here from the Intentional Living Center, and we get back into our calls today. We got John on the line. Welcome, John, to Intentional Living, my friend.
Thank you, sir, and God bless you.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. What's going on? What's your question for me today?
Yes, sir. My question is that we've got a daughter who's 21 who was raised in a Christian home and has now chosen to be independent not only of us but of God and to live life on her own. She's currently in a live-in relationship with a young man who is not a Christian, does not want to know God, doesn't want anything to do with it. And we found ourselves in a distancing between their relationship and us. We seek opportunities to let her know that we still love her, and she knows that, she feels that, but she just wants her own independence to go her own way, to explore and find out life on her own.
Mm.
And so it seems that God has directed us to, by reading the Bible and understanding what we understand, to go the path we're on and just kind of pray and wait for her.
Sure.
But my question is, and I debate this many times, to show our Christian love and forgiveness, we try to do that, but if we close the relationship between her and this young man, number one, I'll wind up preaching to them when I'm around them, which they don't want to hear. Yeah. But if I bring them in and make the relationship close and just accept it, then I find myself being like Eli in the Bible, who's he allowed his two sons to carry on without correction. Yeah. And I don't want to do that, but I also feel like maybe there's something more we could do to show the Christian love and forgiveness. How am I showing that by keeping her at a distance?
Sure. Well, John,
I'm looking for some scriptural basis to help me with that.
Well, John, you're a very thoughtful person in terms of wanting to think this through, and you're allowing your emotions to stay in check and wanting to do the right thing. And I'm sure down deep, you and is your wife involved as well?
Yes, the two of you? She's okay. In the family with me and concurs
all
with
right.
where we're going.
And both of you have a broken heart. Your daughter's chosen to walk away at this stage in her life from all the values you've taught her and make decisions that you don't agree with and you know God doesn't agree with. And as any parent, you'd have a broken heart over that. And
absolutely.
That's very understandable. I guess when we look at Scripture, I would challenge a couple of things. One is you talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a powerful thing, but she's not asked for forgiveness. And forgiveness is something, she's being disobedient to God more than you. She's a 21-year-old making choices in her life. She's got to live with, her issue right now is between her and God more than between her and you, if that makes sense. And
absolutely, and that's a concern.
And
we want to make sure that we see her in heaven.
Exactly, and I think the matter of saying in your prayer life is, God, we love her and we want her to come into obedience to you, but she's yours. Do in her life what you need to do to bring her back to you. And frankly, it may be painful in the process, but that you give her back to God as a 21-year-old. She's not 12. She's not, you know, she's 21 years old making these decisions. And I think probably if we look biblically, the closest thing I can come to is the thought of the prodigal. And you know the story, you know, the dad just kept looking out that window. I had to every day, waiting for the prodigal to come back. Eventually, he did. And I think it's symbolic of the fact that many times prodigals, these children who make decisions, will have a moment in time. They'll have a moment. She's going to have a moment where everything she was taught, everything that you taught her, is going to come back into sharp focus. And she's going to face something that she's going to have to make some decisions. And it's at that moment that you want the door open. You want to have a good opportunity to have a good relationship with her and with this young man who you would like to see to come to Christ as well. And so if I were to summarize this whole thing, John, here's how I would approach it. With a lot of pain in my own heart as a parent, I would use a term, love with boundaries. Love with boundaries. What I mean by that is you unconditionally love her. There's nothing she can do that's never going to cause you not to love her. But that doesn't mean you're going to support it, embrace it, finance it, or violate your own conscience when it comes to her choices and lifestyle. That doesn't mean you can't go out to dinner together. Doesn't mean you can't spend some time together. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy your relationship. But my guess is she and this young man also know very clearly that you don't agree with the decisions they've made and how they're choosing to live. And that could be clearly communicated once without, as you say, preaching to her. That's where we fall into. I'll tell you, I'm just like you, John. Every time I'm with that daughter, I'm probably thinking, I've got to give her a verse, a scripture, I got to teach her, I got to preach at it, I got to say something. And I think you just love her because she already knows that you don't approve, and she already knows in her heart that God doesn't approve.
That's right.
But doesn't solve your pain. You still got the pain, and I think that's something you and your wife really have to really work through in your own life and relationship with each other and let God do some healing. Because you know what? This story's not over yet.
Right. Your advice is that we should have more of a relationship than we actually have not met the young man because we just disapproved of the situation. But it's your advice that we should engage in a relationship?
If that were my daughter, I would want to meet this man. I'd want him to know I'm not this mystical Christian nut out there somewhere that doesn't care for him. Because that's probably what he's thinking. I don't know what he's thinking. But I would want to meet him. Maybe meet him one-on-one. Maybe take him out to lunch and just say, hey, listen, I want to know who you are. You're obviously involved with my daughter. I love my daughter. And I want to know who you are. I want to meet you. But I want you to know, you know that I don't approve of this and why. And you share with him what you believe and why. And then you love this guy. You know, you could be the instrument, John, down the road that leads this young man to Christ. And it could be a radical change in his heart, your daughter's heart. The two of them come back to Christ, and who knows what God would do with this. No, I wouldn't close the door, but when you say have a, quote, close relationship, I'm not suggesting you be buddy-buddy and go play golf every Friday, Saturday together and leave, you know, because it's difficult for you. But at the same time, I would not, if it were me, I would not close that door completely.
Okay, I think that's good advice.
And, you know, you're going to have to wrestle with your own stuff, John. This, you know, listen, I hear you. This isn't the way you raised your daughter. It's not the way you wanted to spend this time in your life. But these people that you care about, your daughter in particular, and this young man who's your daughter cares about, they need Christ, and they need to understand God loves them. And you may be the instrument to let that come through.
All right. I thank you for that. I thank you very much for that. You've got great wisdom. I listen to you all the time. And God bless you. May He do that abundantly now for all the people you've helped here. And that I really take your advice to heart.
Thank you, John. And please let us know. And as you know, this is an unfolding story, and you never know. The story could change down the road one way or another, and you have to make some different decisions. But at this point, leaving a door open for a relationship in terms of love with boundaries, as I call it, I think something to really pray about. Thanks for your call, my friend.
Thank you. You have a blessed day.
Bye-bye. Stop digging a financial hole and start to take control of your finances. Whatever the things you're doing that are digging the hole for you, stop digging. You ever notice when we get in trouble, sometimes we just dig faster, you know? If, for instance, credit card is your problem, stop using the credit card. Stop digging the hole saying, hey, I'm going to not use credit cards. I'm going to go to cash. Now, some people can use credit cards and they can manage them. But if you can't pay off your credit card every month, then get rid of the credit card. Put it on ice. Go to cash. Go to an envelope system. Those work. Envelope systems have been around for years and years, and they're cheap. Go buy some envelopes and figure out what the budget is for your mortgage and for your food and your entertainment and put them in there. And in that process, forces you to stop digging the hole.
Yeah, and in fact, that'll make a difference in your life. I would encourage you to think about those principles. And in fact, that's just an excerpt from the entire practical teaching this month that went out to over 3,600 families and individuals around the country who are members of the Intentional Living Journey here, the Intentional Living Center. And I'd love your feedback on it. If you have some suggestions and ideas of things that work for you about money and getting out of debt, I'd love to hear them. You know, one of the things that we believe is coming up with a strategy is not half as difficult as actually being intentional to execute. I think we all know spending less than you make over an extended period of time and being faithful as a steward will put you in good stead with your money. It's doing it. That's the problem. And that teaching this month is intended to help you do it. Next month, I have an interesting teaching coming up for the next month here, month of May. And it's called the 10 Tripwires for Your Life. You know, I think tripwires are things that we need in our life, things that kind of set off an explosion inside of us that say, hey, oop, I got to stop and pay attention. What just happened now? And I'm going to share with you that the intentionals, the tripwires for life, very practical lesson coming up next month. So if you're not a member, listen, join us today. You'll be included. If you are a member, watch for it. It's coming your way. You can join us by going to theintentionallife.com. And again, this week, I want to thank all of you who've been calling in support of the radio ministry. Thank you for standing with us. We appreciate it. And for your support for the Intentional Living Ministry, God bless you. Thank you. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. Just before I wrap it up, I have one more announcement, but I know you're on pins and needles wondering what happened with Mr. Intentional and his daughter. Well, let's take a listen.
Last time on the Intentionals.
What are you doing, Daddy?
Calling Becky's parents. Hello, Mrs. Miller. It's Mr. Intentional. Why, yes, we were just discussing that. She did? They were? They did? I see. I will. We will. Well, thank you. Goodbye.
Daddy, there's something.
You forgot to tell me that Kelly's joke was told at Becky's expense?
I didn't mean to laugh, but I didn't want Kelly to think I was weird. I feel awful.
Sweetheart, sometimes being a true friend means that others think you're different. But it's a good kind of different to be. So, what do you think you should do?
I'm gonna go call Becky right now and tell her I'm sorry.
That's my intentional girl.
Next time on The Intentionals.
Bob, we need to talk about this bill.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Intentional. Hey, we love hearing from the family. They show up every so often with another story. You know, this week we've talked about single moms and faith. We've talked about the difficult issues of end-of-life relationship challenges and how to be intentional during that time. We've talked about being intentional with loneliness. Yesterday, we focused on making your marriage work, and today, how to be an intentional parent. The Intentional Living Ministry and Center is all focused on the practical things of your life and challenging you to be intentional in taking a step. Okay? That's why we're here. And we have five essentials that we focus on: our faith, our family, our work, finances, and our health. And we have a very unique, one-of-a-kind conference combining two of those essentials, your family and your work. It's called the Thrive Conference for Families in Business, and we have scheduled this and prepared it as a special gift to families in business around the country. We got mom-pop operations, and we've got larger family businesses. We have some single representatives from family businesses up to five or six members. We've got one-year-old family businesses to 100-year-old family businesses. People who want to do business God's way, they want to know the principles that work, hear from others that are working in a family business or leading a family business, and get some practical help, and frankly, just get away for a while and have some fun and focus on your relationship and your business and planning for the future. Well, it's going to be held in Phoenix. We invite you to come from anywhere across the country. Phoenix at the beautiful Biltmore Resort, coming up May 28 and 29. And during those 2 days, we're going to have sessions that are going to be very practical, led by experts, by family business leaders. John Solheim, the chairman CEO of the Ping Golf business, the club business, which, by the way, is a family business. He'll be there and sharing with us. I get to speak. We have leaders from all sorts of various areas of interest to families and business. Topics will include succession planning, avoiding mistakes in the relationship aspect of your business, identifying and leveraging strengths of your employees, how to have a vibrant marriage and be successful in your family business, raising capital you can bank on, God's will for estate planning, healthcare solutions, marketplace ministry, and how to communicate to each other. But April is the month to get registered. Again, this is early bird discount month, and we want to thank the friends of the ministry that allowed us to drive the cost down so you can come. Here's where you need to go. Go to familybusinessconference.com. That's familybusinessconference.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.